Chapter 117. Clues and News. Reading and rereading the tales of Beetle the Bard in the hopes that it would yield some clue was peaceful but not restful. To pass the time, the trio speculated about how to pass news to their friends and confound their enemies. Hermione, cautious, was inclined to keep them from venturing too far into places that could be traps, like Godric's Hollow, or certain death, like Malfoy Manor. They added the Muggle orphanage that Riddle had grown up in to the list. Discussion turned to the Sword of Gryffindor, which had also been on the list from Dumbledore. It was Ron who had the bright idea. "It's obvious, isn't it? He's turned all the rest of the Founder's things into Horcrux. He must want this one for one, too." "We can't let him have it," Harry said firmly, imagining having to destroy that magic sword the way the locket had been destroyed. "But we don't know if it's still at Hogwarts," said Hermione. "What are we going to do? Go back and check?" Harry perked up. "That's exactly what we're going to do." "Harry! We're students, aren't we? We sneak in on the train and the enchantments won't get us. It's not like we're not allowed. We get the sword and talk to Draco and Neville, get some news. It's just a couple of weeks away. We leave through the statue of the humpbacked witch when we're done." Ron and Hermione looked very doubtful. Struck by the idea, however, Harry plowed on as persuasively as he knew how. "We know that school better than anyone. We've got a map and we need to check there for Horcrux. It's too bad we don't have Greg with us. He's like a sniffer dog for them." "I don't know, Harry," said Hermione. "We've been saying that they'd expect me to go to Godric's Hollow, right? Does anyone expect us to go to Hogwarts? They won't be watching for us there. Not really, because they don't know about the secret passages. We could keep away from the populated areas, use the invisibility cloak, move around at night." Harry could see the plan catch on in Ron's mind, but he kept watching Hermione. "I'm sorry, Harry. There just aren't enough contingency plans. Anything could go wrong there, and we'd be trapped. It's a fortress." "So we bring another way out," Harry said, and paused, thinking. "A portkey? No." "Brooms," said Ron. "If they'll fit in your magic bag, Hermione." "We can always fall out a window or jump off the top of the tower that way," Harry agreed. The larger problem of where to go next became the smaller problem of how to get there and where to steal brooms from, which became the even smaller problem of what disguises to wear for a quick trip to Diagon Alley for supplies, a couple of cheap broomsticks, a visit to the bank, and a swing by Borgin and Burke's, which everyone agreed was a great jumble of dark things to potentially hide a dark thing in. "And the apothecary," Harry said. "I need more supplies if we're going to keep depending on Polyjuice, and somewhere to brew potions safely." "I'm sure I saw a spell for air circulation in the Standard Book of Spells," Hermione said, fingers obviously itching to dive back in to the reassuring world of research. "What can I do, mate?" Ron asked. Harry blinked at him. "Oh, right. Ron wasn't a bookworm type. Quick as a whip in a fight, and the best guy to have in your corner, but not happy in a book the way he and Hermione were." "Keep us on task," Harry said. "You know I go running off after daydreams and forget important details, and Hermione would forget to eat and sleep if we let her. You're the one who spent the last year coaching a team, aren't you?"
"Well, not really," mumbled Ron.
"Really," Harry said firmly, sensing incipient self-doubt. "Not happening."
"Suppose if I'm going to be the Auror, someone give me some parchment. I'm going to organize our clues."
Parchment was dutifully handed over. Ron glanced over at him.
"What do you think? Do I look like a proper detective?"
"Just need a pipe and a deerstalker hat."
"Why would a hat stalk deer?"
"It's a Muggle thing about a famous detective called Sherlock Holmes." This time, their disguises were a blandly pretty black-haired boy, a black girl, and a tall, skinny, black-haired man. Harry, typically, got the girl again.
Hermione pointed out to him that it wasn't a picnic going the other way either. "Where'd you get the money for all this stuff?" Ron asked him, as they strolled casually into the Leaky Cauldron early on the morning of August 24th. "I thought the ingredients were expensive." "I've been selling stuff for years, you know," Harry said, attempting to be casual. "It just adds up after a while. Your, brother, he's helpful." "Oh, right," said Ron, who had never been one for capitalism despite his own protestations to the contrary. The Leaky Cauldron was nearly empty, and the two patrons who were having breakfast were engaged in a whispered argument over a newspaper. Harry and Ron, he was pretty sure that was Ron, exchanged a worried glance. Diagon Alley was covered in posters of Harry's face.
"I think we need to get a paper," Harry managed numbly.
Instead of their planned route, they turned their party towards the bookshop and its promised news. Harry smoothed out the paper. A huge photograph of his own face filled the front page. He read the headline over it. Wanted for questioning about the death of Albus Dumbledore. Harry and Hermione were both busy coping with guilt complexes, so perhaps it wasn't surprising that they were steered by a casual-seeming, not casual at all, Ron into Weasley's Wizarding Wheezes, first on their list of errands. Harry didn't quite hear the usual opening speech that the twins gave. It sounded a little forced in tone. But what he did hear was Hermione asking, voice hesitant, We'd like 3 portable swamps, please. It's going to be my little sister's birthday."
"Well," said Fred.
"Well, well," said George.
"You'd better come through to the back," Fred said. "George can mind the shop, can't you, George?"
"Course I can," George said. "Make him give you a load of galleons for that lot."
"Who'd you take me for?" asked Fred.
The trio shuffled into the back of the shop. The door was closed, intruders were checked for, wards were cast, and then Fred was hugging his little brother to death.
"George will be so mad he didn't get to talk to you," Fred said.
"Now, what can we do for you? We've got news. Order news, DA news, a neat little pile of money. You shouldn't have come here, really, though. They do have chaps watching us. We've got maybe 2 minutes before they get suspicious."
Harry was a little dizzy with all this.
"Everyone's all right?" Ron asked.
"Mom and Dad are. She's busy with the order, and Dad's keeping his head down at work. Percy's fine, of course. Now, before we go any further, how about a little bit more to prove you are who you say you are?"
Harry had never seen that cool, watchful look in Fred's eyes before. He hated it.
He recited the secret ingredient for extendable ears anyway, and was startled to get a hug, too.
"You make a weirdly fit girl," Fred told him, which Harry was not sure how to process.
"How'd you know which one of us was Ron?" Harry asked, to change the subject.
"I know his wand, don't I? Seen it enough times. It's got a chip in it near the rear end."
"Ron, you should take better care of your wand," said Hermione.
And Fred grinned.
"No time, Hermione. Right, news. You've seen the papers? Well, here's what's happened with the order since we got news about the jinx on his snakiness's name. We tested it by confunding a little girl to ask her mum who he was on the street. Not particularly proud of that, but we've got the word out as best we can now. It's all about the Muggleborns right now."